Ruth chapter 2 tonight. If you'll take your Bibles, go there with us. Ruth chapter 2. We'll read two verses of scripture here, give you what the Lord has done in our heart. I do thank you for the privilege to be here tonight, and I'm humbled by this opportunity. All that good preaching this morning, boy, I tell you, it's hard to get up after that, but it is a joy to be here tonight. Appreciate this opportunity. Ruth chapter 2 tonight, Ruth chapter number 2, and I want you to look with me at verse number 1, Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter." Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for Jesus. God, we ask you for just a few moments. You touch our voice. God, strengthen us. Help us tonight, God. Lord, we need you tonight, God. It's not us, but I pray, God, you'll fill me with the Holy Ghost, God. Use us tonight, I pray, to deliver the message. God, you've laid heavy on our heart. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, all you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen tonight. You may be seated. I want to say tonight, this book of Ruth, I love the book of Ruth. Amen. Look in here, and I want to say, so just a few things about this book opening up tonight. First thing I want you to notice is chapter 1. I believe we could title that as a chapter of weeping and wandering. You look at the book of Ruth, one of the things I love, you see, there they go to Moab in Ruth chapter 1. There they are, they're weeping, there's the deaths there, the weeping and wandering. But you know what I like about the book of Ruth? It reminds me of a testimony. You say, what are you saying? Well, chapter 1 of all of our life was nothing but weeping and wondering and seeing. Amen. But I want to say this. Thank God it changed. Amen. You look back in Ruth chapter 1, you'll find there where Ruth there chose. Look what the Bible says in verse number 16 of chapter 1. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God." Can I say that was the turning point for Ruth? Amen. I love it because let me say, this. All of us, listen, there's a time in our life when we's over in Moab, amen. But a gracious God, hallelujah. I'm glad he can reach Moab, amen. I'm glad he can reach Bowling Spring, South Carolina. I'm glad we got a God, amen, that can reach further down than we can reach up, amen. And I'm glad he can take you out of Moab and bring you into Bethlehem, Judah, to the house of bread and praise, amen. And that's what happened to Ruth. What I love about it is, it comes chapter 2. I believe chapter 2 is a chapter of working and wanting. Here she is, she's laboring and she's working and for her bridegroom. You'll notice here, but I want to say this about chapter 3 as well. Chapter 3, I believe, deals with waiting and watching there. But I want to say this, many people in their life, they look at their life and they say, oh, I'm in chapter 1. It's weeping, it's all this stuff. But what I love about Ruth is, in chapter 4, there's a wedding, amen. And can I say this, chapter 1 of our life might have been wondering and weeping, but there's coming a wedding in chapter 4 of our life, amen. There's one day we're going to get to meet our bridegroom face to face. We're going to get to meet our heavenly Boaz face to face. I can't wait for that day. I don't know about you. The more wicked this world gets, the more I look forward to seeing my Savior, hallelujah. And I want to say there's coming a day when I get to see my Redeemer, and his name's not Boaz, but his name's Jesus, hallelujah. And I'm glad for that day when there's going to be a wedding, and not only is there going to be a wedding, but there's going to be some wealth as well. There's an old Ruth, she had nothing, hallelujah, but when she met Boaz, all of a sudden, listen, she got an inheritance. You may look at me tonight and say, boy, you don't have much, and I agree, but I'll tell you what, tonight, I've got an inheritance. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I know my heavenly Boaz, his name is Jesus, and I'm glad I'm saved tonight, and I'm glad I got a better place to go, amen. Listen, I don't know how people do it without Jesus. I don't, amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight, amen. But I want you to see three things here quickly in chapter 2. Lord, lay on my heart. Here you know in chapter 1, she professes her faith in God. But look, chapter 2, the Bible said in verse 2, "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi," don't you notice these things, "let me now go to the field." Can I stop and say this? She didn't say, "I have to." She said, "let me." Yeah. Yeah, You realize who Boaz really is. It won't be a have to. It'll be let me. Let me go into fear. Oh, yes. You say, what are you saying? I'm glad I can serve my Lord. Amen. Listen, what happened after she got to Bethlehem, Judah? She wanted to serve her Boaz. Amen. I want to stop and just say this tonight. It is a joy to serve the Lord. I like what Psalm 102 says. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. I want to say tonight, you, most of you, I realize, are in the ministry probably. In some aspect serving God. But can I just encourage you tonight as a young preacher and just say, serve Him with gladness. Amen. Don't lose that joy. Don't lose the gladness. It's not a have to. She said, let me. In other words, please just let me go and get into the field and just glean some corn after my Boaz. You say, what are you saying tonight? It is a joy to serve the Lord. Can I say this tonight? Two words categorize Ruth, in my opinion, in chapter 2. That's labor and love. Amen. You say, what are you saying? That ought to characterize us as Christians. We ought to be laboring, but we ought to be filled with love too. Amen. You say, love for who? Not for the world. Before the bridegroom, amen. Our heavenly Boaz tonight. Can I just say this tonight? I want to say, number one tonight, Ruth had a desire to go. Ruth had a desire to get in the field. Ruth had a desire to do something, amen. And I want to say that ought to follow all of our salvation. A desire. I'm glad God changed my destiny when I got saved, but I'm also glad He put a burning desire in my heart to live for Him and to serve Him all the days of my life. Listen, I know none of us are perfect. Hallelujah. I understand that, but I'm glad God changed my desires. I don't want the same things that I used to want. I met Jesus, hallelujah, and He changed my life. Ruth had a desire to go. Number two, in the verse number two, says, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him. Do you notice that him there? After who? After Boaz. In other words, she wouldn't just want to go into some field. She wanted to go into his field. Amen. Listen, there's a lot there I could preach for a while, but can I just say this? She wanted to get where the field that the Lord, or excuse me, Boaz had for her. That field there, Boaz, she wanted to get right there in the middle of it and wanted to stay there. Amen. Can I just stop and say, we need to get in the will of God and stay there. Amen. Get in the middle of that. Amen. Not only did she have a desire to go, but she had a desire to glean. I believe you see that. Going over to verse number 7 with me. I believe it's telling us the same thing here in verse 7. She said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Can I say this tonight? When you get saved, God puts a desire in there to glean some things. Amen. You say, what do you mean glean? I'm talking about gleaning from the Word of God. I'm talking about gleaning from the precious things of God. Listen, I want to say this tonight. I understand, listen, that the world has the things they glean from, but God puts a desire to glean those wonderful blessings from Him. I mean, He puts a desire to get fed, not only physically, but I'm talking about spiritual gleaning. I'm not talking about this corn like you may see it. I'm talking about spiritual bread and spiritual fruit. There's a desire in my heart to get some help from the Word of God. That's what bothers me about this crowd that don't want to go to church. Amen. Amen. Listen, I love going to church. I love gleaning some corn out of the fields of Boaz. I love that. Amen. Why? Because God put a desire in my heart to glean some things. Amen. Not only does Ruth have a desire to go and a desire to glean, but look also in verse 2. Said Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. She had a desire to find grace in his eyes. Go to verse 13. Go to verse 13. Then she said, let me find favor, same thing there, grace, in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. You know, when I read that, I began to think about that finding grace in your sight. That's not a foreign term in the Bible. You think about Hannah over there, and she was praying for that child. And then you know the priest there, and he said, it's going to happen to you. And she said, look, she was just rejoicing over the fact that she'd find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can I say this tonight? What I'm trying to get at is this. It amazes me tonight that I have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Listen, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. All down through the Bible, you'll find God is a gracious God. But I'm so glad one day he looked down my way and he had grace to me, amen. And he saved my soul. But I want to say this, I believe there's more to it than just that. I believe what she's saying here is, I want to please my heavenly Boaz. I want to please. There is a desire in you, if you're saved, to please your Lord. Just as she said in verse number 13 there, I let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. I know that's a small L because she's talking to physically Boaz. But can I say this? That ought to be our desire. Lord, I want to find grace in your sight. Lord, I want to please you. I want to do everything acceptable and honorable and pleasing to you, Lord. Can I stop and say this? That ought to be our desire. Oh, that ought to be our burning desire, is to do what's right and to please the Lord in these days and hours. Can I just stop and say this? And I'm going to close shortly. I only got 15 minutes. I'm going about 11 and a half. So I'm running a little bit easy, buddy. Hold off on the cowbell a second. But let me say this tonight. Listen, the Lord sure is good to us. Listen, I know they preached all morning. If you've been here in the morning service, listen, they preached all morning about serving God. And I want to tell you something. I've not been pastoring long. I've not been serving God long. But I tell you one thing. It is the best thing in the world to be able to serve my heavenly Boaz. Listen, I want to tell you this. You say, why are you so concerned about serving him? Because one day when that chapter 4 gets here in my life, and there's that wedding, I can't wait to stand before him. Can't wait. Listen, Remy, look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Listen, I can't wait. Listen, get there. There's going to be rewards for those that serve him. And I don't want to stand there empty handed. I want something to cast at his feet. Listen, I wonder tonight, do you know the bridegroom? Do you know Boaz? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? If you do, can I just encourage you, please? Can I encourage you? Serve him. Not with a have-to attitude, but oh, just let me go. Just let me serve him. Just let me do something for the God of glory. Amen. I'm done, preacher.